Good morning to each one of you. It is a joy to be gathered here together, and I've been encouraged and edified with what the Lord has been bringing to us through our brothers. And I have also marveled at what was on the brothers' hearts and how it goes well with what I have on my heart here this morning. So thank the Lord for that. I just want to greet each one of you in the precious name of Jesus and ask that you pray for me as I share the Word of God. And we count this a privilege today. You know, worship is something, worshiping together is such a beautiful thing. And it's something that God instituted, I believe, way back in the Garden of Eden. And it has been distorted, it has been misused and misunderstood and many of those things. But I believe that God has preserved a remnant. He has preserved a people that understand worship even in this day of 2026. So I thank the Lord for that here this morning. And I was just thinking as I was sitting here, I usually see Lamar about 3 days a week. And so this is an extra day that I get to see Lamar. And so I'm thankful for that. And also I was going to say that I have a little job for Lamar after lunch. And I have some for all the children. And so I was going to ask him if he would be willing to help with that. And so, anyway, sorry to pick on you, Lamar. But so this morning, I was just thinking a lot of thoughts. The subject that the Lord laid upon my heart is breaking strongholds of the mind. It's something that I feel like I have struggled with in my life, in my past life, and even after I was a Christian. And so it's something that's special in my heart. It has a unique place in my heart, just thinking about the mind. Brother Dan talked about the mind and the imagination side of it. And and I thought of James. He talked about faith. You know, we have to have, we need faith to have pure and godly minds. And so praise the Lord for that. I was thinking this morning, I believe there are many beautiful minds in this room, pure minds. But we all have hang-ups. We all have things in our minds, our process. When I say our minds right now, I'm talking about our process of thinking. We all have hang-ups that need perfecting. The way I process things. You know, in any given service like this, if you were to ask each one after the service, what did so-and-so talk about, they would give you a little different angle on it, a little bit different of a outcome. And that's because our minds work in different ways. So I would just like to talk about that this morning, about pulling down the strongholds. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And so this morning, as I think of that, I was thinking the earliest memory that I have of, you know, maybe a mind that was maybe facing some strongholds was when I was a little boy, about 6 years old. I can remember that every night before we would go to bed, my dad would go out and lock the door. And so as he went out to lock the door, I would often go with him. And I remember a few times, and then I even remember him and my mom having dialogue about it, where he would go up to the door and close it and lock it, and he'd walk 5 feet away, and then he'd come back, and he'd check it again, and then maybe 3 or 4 times. And sometimes my mom would say, just quit it. It's closed, you know. And so, but those are, you know, our minds work in certain ways. So I don't know, you know, some people would call that OCD. And that's a real thing. There's probably a percentage of people in this room that would struggle with OCD, which is, you know, it's an obsessive compulsive disorder. It's where you overthink things. And you have a hard time sorting through in your mind what you did or should do or could be done. So thinking of strongholds in the mind, I believe that, you know, if you think about it, everything that happens, everything I do, everything that we do or don't do, it all starts in the mind. It all starts in the brain. So this strongholds of the mind can affect us in a very major way as we grow, even in our Christian experience, even after being a Christian for a number of years. So some would call that, you know, a stronghold, maybe an insecurity, and maybe just a habit. Maybe it's being a perfectionist. Maybe it's, you know, being anxious or a worrywart. You know, Jesus said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, trust Jesus Christ. Trust him. Don't worry about anything. Don't even worry about your life, because you can't add one cubit to your life. You can't add one moment or minute to your life. So he assured us in Matthew there about these things, and yet it is something that we as a fallen humanity deal with, even after conversion. You know, we have people that go to a restaurant, and they'll sit down and they'll place their order. Well, after three other people order, they will raise their hand and say, I'd like to change my order. Could I order this? And there's nothing wrong with that, but it just speaks of how our minds work. We have customers that we call it, they have FOB, which is fear of better options. So after they pick their cabinet color or their hardware or their design, they'll come back a week later, can I change my color or my design? And some of our builders call it fear of better options. They're always afraid that they're not going to get exactly what would make them happy. And so you have all kinds of thought patterns that develop. And some people are slow to answer questions, and some people will answer them very quickly. And some people respond, you know, if you ask them the same question twice, they'll respond with maybe a bit of frustration or anger. They immediately grow weary of your questioning. And others, you could ask them the same question seven times and they would just give you maybe a little different answer each time, but they would probably, you know, be patient with you. So those are patterns of the mind that we develop. So this morning, as I think of pulling down strongholds, you know, it all starts in the mind. Some time ago, I read an article about a person that was on a flight. They were at 36,000 feet, and this person decided that he wanted to open the plane door. So he goes over and he starts pulling the emergency exit to open this plane door at 36,000 feet. And we know that is, you know, a catastrophe. That is something that would destroy most of the people in the plane, and him included. But yet, in his mind, a stronghold, I believe, was operating where he was totally misconstrued or misinformed. You know, mental health is something that today I would like to give a disclaimer. I'm not making any light of any mental health issues that any of us have, but only trying to help us understand that the answers are in the Word of God. That's the secret here this morning that most people miss, You know, they say, well, I have a mental health issue, and so I need a doctor. Well, yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, the answers are in the Bible. The Word of God is enough for you and me. And it's when we don't follow the Word of God is when other means are often exhausted. I read about a man that he called the fire department. He started a fire in a woods, and he wanted to watch the fire department come out. So he watched them come, and then as they got out in the fire, why he decided to see if he could shoot some of them. And so this is a mind that has a stronghold. He's mentally ill. But he didn't start there. I believe if you backed it up, there were things along the way that he didn't deal with. There were signs along the way that could have been prevented. You know, in our line of work, we do appliance panels. And there's times when we get the panels out on the job site, and we will, you know, try to install them. Cleat will try to install them, and they're the wrong size. And so we start looking back, and we realize that we didn't have all the information. We realize that, a month after the job was in the shop, they sent another email with another spec for another appliance that never got picked up or transferred. And so, you know, there's times when we don't have all the information. We miss something. You know, if you go to the doctor to get a new knee put in, you'll have multiple people come to you and say, is your name so-and-so? You know, is your name, you know, whatever it is, Josh? And where do you live here? And is your right knee the one that's bad? And so they just go through multiple processes to discern that, yes, this is the right person and the right limb being worked on. And it's because of the breakdown of communication and how our minds work and how our minds miss things. There's things that I miss that my wife catches, and there's things that my wife misses that I catch, you know, as we visit with people. And so it's the process here. And so we have 60,000 thoughts a day, approximately. And 90% of them are repetitive. And so that's why strongholds develop. When you have a repetitive nature that's built right in, you know, the way I think is the way I act, and the way I live, and the way I walk, and the way I understand. And so there's so many things that happen in my mind when I perceive something. If I could get a glass of water at some point here, that would be a blessing. I don't think there's none there. But so as we think of strongholds in our lives, you know, this is another one, is music. Music can be a stronghold, a certain type of music, it can be something that it wraps me up so tight that I can't really process things anymore. And or clothing. Clothing is another one. And those are all things that, you know, that's why we have the body of Christ, where we can help each other, where we can walk together and understand, you know, what is the will of the Lord. And it can mean different things for different people. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so I would like to say this morning, all of us in this room, I believe we have sound minds, and we should be thankful for that, and we should not take that lightly. A sound mind is a very precious thing. It is so precious. And Dan, he talked about this to the children, and I thought of that as I was preparing. I was thinking of that, that when I was a young child, I don't ever remember of someone telling me what to think and what to not think about. From my young, early as I can remember, to my adolescence and in my teenage years, not one time did I ever hear anyone say, "Don't think about that." Don't talk about that. That is not good. That was never part of my understanding. So that's the blessing of a Christian home. You can teach your children when certain subjects come up, you know, they need to understand them for sure. And there's seasons when there's time for everything. But there are times when we need to tell our children, you have the ability in your heart and mind to not think about that. It's a choice that you can make as an individual. But when that's not in place, we develop things that are natural to us, and then we develop strongholds. You know, I don't know if any of you have heard this before or not, but my mom, I remember my mom telling me this years ago. She said when she was at home, well, there was many people in the community that told them that if you don't study the Bible, if you don't open the Bible and look at it, then you won't really be accountable for what's in it. And so that's why for years there has been a pushback on don't read the Bible, because you could get deceived. And the reason was is there was fear of being accountable for the truth in the Bible. Now that was false. That was completely false. Well, it developed a stronghold in our community, where when I was 28 or 9 years old, after I got converted, I thought, well, I'll just take a little pocket testament and I'd put it in my pocket and I'd go to church, you know, like that, if I wanted to look at it. And as I walked into church, I remember feeling really conscious about this little Bible in my pocket. I was just, it made me nervous. It scared me. But that was a stronghold that had been, people have been wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped with that thing for years. And when you want to break free from a stronghold, it's warfare. And so I remember that one of my uncles told me, now I would rather see my boys go to a beer party than a Bible study. And that's very sad. That is very sad. That's another result of the stronghold that I just talked about. So ignorance is not bliss. If you go to us, you know, down here at the end of this road and you don't stop, if there's a stop sign there, and if you decide just to go on through, even if you didn't know that stop sign meant stop, you're still accountable. And they'll still pull you over if they see you, and they'll still give you a ticket, whether you knew it or not. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Whether we know the Bible or not, we will be held accountable. And so that's why strongholds of the mind are so destructive this morning. You know, it talks about men who have corrupt minds. 2 Corinthians 10:4 is in the New Living. It says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. That is what strongholds are. It's human reasoning and it's false arguments. It often starts with a wound that we experience, a hurt, or a disappointment that makes our heart fertile ground for seeds of lies to be planted. On this foundation, the enemy then begins to build, brick by brick, a wall of lies, wrong ideas about who God is, interpreting Scripture wrongly, prideful thoughts, distorted views of how God sees us and feels about us when we sin. When we buy into these lies and agree with the enemy, giving him control, that area of our life becomes a stronghold, which the enemy of our soul can control and use to manipulate us. So as you think of our minds this morning, they're such a precious thing. And yet God gives us many things that, you know, in his word on how we should live. 1 Timothy 6:5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So there's corrupt minds, destitute of truth. I'd like for us to make the connection there. That if there's a stronghold in our mind, there's usually a deficit of truth. Truth is lacking. So as I think of strongholds, I thought I would just draw a little something on the board here. As we think of, you or I here this morning. I don't know if you think about it or not, if you have any ideas whether there's a stronghold in your life this morning or not, but I'd like for us to think about this. So first off, for a stronghold to form, we have to believe a lie. And we know that the enemy, he's the father of lies. So if we go around, lies, create actions. It's a false belief about something, or maybe a reaction. And then as it goes around, it develops feelings. Feelings develop, or fears. And then as we go around, more lies develop. And so this happens, and it keeps, it keeps wrapping you up. It keeps going like this. And to break through that thinking pattern, somehow there has to be truth come right into the heart. Truth sets free. So as you think of that this morning, look at the vicious circle that it develops. And so this person is confused. He becomes wrapped up in his own world. So as I think of, you're standing in the center of the circle. A lie is at the top. Then it produces feelings or fears, which generates action or reaction. And then, again, it produces another lie. And it's a vicious circle. We've heard the phrase, and we've said it probably many of us, my mind's just going circles this morning. If I think the truth and I believe the truth, I believe my actions will follow. But if I think things that are not true and do things that are not true, then also wrong actions will follow. Thought of this verse here over in Romans. Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So at conversion, this mind, our mind gets set free. And all these bands of deceit and lies can be put away. And And in Romans 12, 16, it says, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits or your own thoughts. So it gives some direction here about that there are times when we have to allow others to help us think. Or at least it's wisdom. It's not, there's nothing that we have to do in this life. But we get to, we have the privilege to do that. So as we think of that, that mind not high things. It says, do not set your mind on. What are high things? High things could be, I got it figured out. Don't bother me with that. I got it. I know more than you think I know. But it says, don't do that. But it says here, condescend to men of low estate. Associate with the humble. Associate with a humble heart. With someone that has a humble estimation of himself. And yet he believes the word of God without any compromise. He believes the word of God has all the answers. So as we think of strongholds this morning, the good news is that there's deliverance for that. And then in 2 Corinthians 10 there's a few more verses that I would like to touch on. Verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So there's something that we're doing there. You see that there's a direction there and there's an act of obedience there that we, first off, we cast down. When you cast something down, you throw it down. You distance yourself from it. And every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. Maybe we could all stand and pray. I'd like to pray at this time. Lord, I thank you for this assembly this morning. I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for the precious brothers and sisters in Christ and young people and children. And yes, we know that you have done so much for us. We're so blessed this morning to be able to worship in a quiet and peaceful way here this morning. We think of those in Nepal and Tibet this morning who have perished a few days ago with a mighty tsunami of mud and water, and how many people are displaced and separated, and families are separated. And yet we have this peaceful morning where we can gather together, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today of your blessings upon us. And so I thank you for each one here and pray that you would speak. Bless these few words that I have, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says here, for we walk not in the flesh, nor do we war after the flesh. You know, for though we live in a body, we don't fight according to human standards. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So this morning, as I think of an illustration for pulling down a stronghold. So this wall behind me here, let's say this is a fortified city. This is a stronghold that we would desire to get to the other side. And so when you think of what Paul's saying here by pulling down the stronghold, he's not talking about just blowing a hole or tearing a hole in one side of this wall and going through that. He's talking about removing the wall. He's talking about the wall comes down, pulling down the strongholds. And that's what we have the power in Christ to do this morning. But first, we must have a willing mind. You know, it sometimes starts, you know, my son Leon and I were sharing the other day, and he was talking about one time when he was at home. He was, we were driving on a trip, and he had desire to drive. He was 16, had his beginners, and he told me he'd like to drive a distance. Well, I forgot about it, and I just remember him telling me the other week that, you know, so I totally forgot. We just went, and I just never let him drive, and that just offended him. To, you know, he was trying to understand what happened. You know, why would I do that? But in my mind, there was no issues. In his mind, you know, he was being offended. And at that moment, then he came to me and told me what happened, and I said, "Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, why don't on the next phase here, I'll let you drive, and you know, that's totally fine. We'll figure this out, you know." But if he would have just kept that in here and never said anything, and he would have just, there would have been another wrap of stronghold in his life, his heart, his mind. And he would have been thinking, yeah, my dad don't like me. My dad is mean. He's this and that. And it would have been false. It would have been a false understanding. But that's how strongholds, basically our lies in our mind, develop. Is when we believe things that are not true. And so our minds are, another reason I'm talking about this is our minds are being challenged by the day in which we live. You think of AI and Google and all these things, they are wanting no one to think anything. They want to do all your thinking for you. They're trying to develop this AI option with these, data centers where basically, you can ask AI anything and have an answer in 3 seconds so that I don't have to think and you don't have to think. And they can think for you, and they can taint it, and they can corrupt it to the point where no one will really know where they're at if you're in that realm. So that's why we need critical thinking. We need to stay close to the Word of God. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's think about that this morning. What is the thief, the devil? What is he stealing from you this morning that you're not aware of? I would like for us to consider this morning that the enemy will likely not come to us and ask us to give up your faith, our family, our church. But he will likely try to steal in very small increments our time, our obedience to Christ, our peace, our loving relationships, just 1 inch at a time. He knows much more. He knows he's much more effective if he can take only a little at a time. Or maybe it's your values or your dress standard. He thrives on just a little bit at a time. So what's he stealing from you? Maybe it's the head covering. Maybe it's the length of your dress. Whatever it is, you know, he does that just a little bit at a time. Here's a story about a happening in June of 25 in Florida. There's a nonprofit group, their founder. He was charged with stealing over $100 million from special needs victims over a period of time. As the indictment was unsealed, charging 2 Florida men in connection with a fraudulent scheme, a scheme that is mentioned in Ephesians 6, the devil does that, he schemes to steal $100 million from a nonprofit organization that managed funds for people with special needs and disabilities. Over 15 years, the defendants conspired to use funds and just basically took the money. And so anyway, stealing $100 million meant for the most vulnerable people in our society to enrich themselves. The head of the Justice Department, Criminal Division, we will continue to aggressively pursue accountability for the perpetrators who exploit Americans out of greed. And so we know that was just money. That's a small thing. But the same thing is we're under attack as Christians. The devil wants to scheme and plan to snare us and to steal from us, steal our life, steal everything that's valuable to us. Jesus said he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And so this morning we can question, you know, there's questions that we can ask ourselves. A spiritual stronghold is a mental or emotional space controlled by our spiritual enemy. You know, it's not, you know, a stronghold is not necessarily demon possession. It's basically just lies that form in my mind and I don't recognize it, and it starts, you know, causing me to veer off course. Strongholds are revealed when we encounter within ourselves a desire to run away from accountability. John D. Martin said once, he said, sinning is stupid. And you know, that's not a word that we use much across the pulpit, stupid, but I believe it fits. Sinning is stupid, and victory is glorious and beautiful. The most important weapon you have to tear down a spiritual stronghold is obedience to Christ. What is this spiritual war really about? It's about obeying God when your feelings are saying, do what feels good. The devil and the dark spiritual powers don't want you to obey Jesus, but God does. Obedience has a way of freeing us from the bonds of sin and deception, of bringing us out from darkness into light. God wants us to be free, strong, courageous, wise, faithful. What he has planned for his victorious people is more than we could ever imagine. And obedience is the key to our victory. Some time ago, maybe 15 years ago, a brother came to me one night, one day afternoon, and he said, you know, my devotions are, they're just dry. I don't know what to think. He said, I feel like I can't even understand the Bible anymore. Everything is just dry, and I just can't get anything. And I thought about that back then, and I sadly didn't really know what to tell him. But since then, I've been thinking about the Word of God, and I believe that the secret is read the Word of God even if you don't feel like it. The secret to victory and lasting joy, you should read your Bible even if you don't feel like it. But how you and I respond in those moments will shape our Christian life more than anything else. There are seasons where we feel dry and we feel uninspired. And the enemy would have us to just back away and, I don't feel like it, you know. But what happens is if I press forward, open the Bible and begin to read, and the Lord opens his word. He opens his word. So that is one of the biggest lies that the enemy ever told anyone, is that you shouldn't read if you don't feel like it. It's false. It causes indignation to rise within me, to think that the very thing that gives us life, the enemy's trying to push back on it. Say, don't read that. It's just boring and whatever. So dust off the Bible. Get your dust off the Bible and redeem your poor soul. There's a song that has that line in it. And, you know, during those dry times, pray for grace you need. Then open your Bible and pray anyway and read anyway. Pray for the grace to feel inspired by the Word of God. Don't let that feeling cause you to slide back and believe those schemes and lies of the enemy. Someone gave me this little saying here many years ago, and I think it applies here at this juncture. It says, fact, faith, and feeling were walking on a wall when feeling took an awful fall. So close was faith to feeling that he stumbled and fell too. But fact remained and brought faith back, and that brought feeling too. And so this juggle between feelings and facts and faith, just keep pressing on. Keep pushing forward. And God will meet you. He will bless you. You know, one of the tricks, there's three tricks that the enemy uses very repetitively. He questioned God's word, whether it's true, like Genesis 3, yea, hath God said. Number two, it questions our identity. You know, like Jesus Christ, when he was in the hour of temptation, the devil came to him and said, hey, if you are the Son of God, you know, throw yourself down. You notice that if, or that question mark there? So question our identity, question God's word, and then twisting scripture. That's the third point. He will twist scripture to make us, you know, just kind of lose our way. But those wiles, those strategies, those evil tricks, and those schemes, be on the lookout for them. Because he wants to destroy you. And me, no matter what your age. You could be here this morning 100 years old. I hear there's a widow in our community that's 101 years old, I think, or almost that. And I just think of that. If you're 100 years old and you start believing the lies, or if you've never believed the truth, you will never be saved. John 8:43, it says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Strongholds keep us from hearing with our hearts. Have you ever, we all have heard that, where people, you know, we don't hear what's right. We don't hear with our hearts. We just hear, there's a mental thing that happens where previous experiences and lies come floating through, and oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. But strongholds keep us from hearing with our hearts. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So be aware, there's times when I believe lies. And I'm thankful that I can go to my brother and I can say, am I thinking right here? And explain your scenario. And he can often help you through that. But there needs to be a willing mind. Satanic strongholds are built on lies. If that's the case, then we desperately need to know the truth. God's word is the greatest source of truth we have in this life. You know, Hitler said the story, if you tell a big enough lie often enough, everyone will believe it. And he proved that was true in what happened with the Jews. And it's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to read it. And speaking of the Word of God, to learn it, to know it, to live it. The truth of God is our greatest offensive weapon against the lies, the world, and the dark spiritual powers. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You know, sometimes I think I should have a red walking stick in my spiritual life, you know, so that people know that we don't always see right. We don't always see correctly. The other night we met with a couple in the Mennonite community here that, you know, she doesn't, can't see anymore, and she was just talking about that, you know, how that really is a challenge to them. But she has other, she listens with her ears, and she hears voices, and she discerns from the voice of the person whether they're free or not. You know, often we kind of do the visual thing, the face, our face, is our countenance is a, it is an indicator of the light within, but she listens for the voice, and she said she can usually tell if someone's a true born-again believer by his voice. But you know, Michael Sattler, back in 1527, as he was brought before the magistrates for believing the truth in the Bible here, you know, he kept telling them, I appeal to Scripture. If you can show me in here that it's not true, I will recant. I appeal to Scripture. And that's what we need to use when we have strongholds in the mind. We need to appeal to Scripture. And that will bring to silence the lies of the enemy. A stronghold is a mental fortress built on lies, trauma, sin, or pride. It becomes the enemy's base of operations in the mind. These are things that are common strongholds. Fear of authority. Fear of church vision. Unhealthy fear of worship. Or unhealthy fear is worship of your adversary. So when I give in to fear, fearing whatever, that's basically a level of worship that I'm allowing the enemy to control. But I need to have a worship for Jesus Christ and Him alone. Another one is entitlement. I was misused, so that's why I struggle with this certain sin. It's not my fault. I can't help it. It distorts reality. Truth feels like an attack. Love feels like control. It rejects accountability. Correction is seen as persecution, and it multiplies sin. Isolates you spiritually. You stop listening to wise counsel and claim that God only speaks to you. And then the absence of peace in your life is evident. But, you know, the victim or the entitlement mentality is something that, you know, we're all subject to that. We can all fall into that. Where, you know, I remember back in years ago, I used to do that. I used to think of, you know, I had this happen in my life and this, you know, this happened and that happened. So that's why I had a difficult home life, and so that's why I struggle with this. And that may be true, but it's not. It will wrap you up. It'll wrap you up, and where you will be destroyed, and your mind will be destroyed. But if you allow Jesus Christ, I should put that on there, the truth, which is Jesus Christ, will set you free. Yeah, so that's the thing that, you know, there's times when we think, well, I've heard that. I've heard Jesus sets free, but I've never found it. Well, I believe it's available. It's available this morning. And if, you know, Jesus said, knock, keep knocking, and it will be open. Seek and keep seeking, and you will find. If you haven't found it so far, then that's unfortunate, but doesn't mean you should stop looking. Diligence will come or will pay off. He who sows discord may one day be forced to eat its bitter fruit, is a quote I read this week. Just think of the daisy chain of your mind. Our minds are amazing. They're an amazing organ that God has created. Who can explain the human mind? There's no way here in this room I could even, you know, in any way comprehend the thoughts that have went through each one of your minds from 9:30 this morning until right now. Thoughts of, some were good thoughts and maybe some were bad thoughts, and but we can guide them. So don't let anybody ever tell you that you cannot guide your mind. That is a pitfall that many have been succumbed to and were destroying. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So here's a list of strongholds that I wrote down that I wanted to go across in closing here. And just to remember that strongholds start in the mind, but they are not, they don't need to stay there. And the answer is just coming in obedience to Christ and say, I give you my mind, I give you my heart, and I give you everything. Take this mind that I feel is in a stronghold of wrong thinking right now, of refusing to forgive, refusing to go on, whatever it is. We heard about that in the opening. And just to go forward. So number one, moral failure, consumed by lust, can't find victory, can be a stronghold. Envy, can't rejoice when others prosper. Bitterness, can't move past a painful event in life. We was at the Holocaust Museum here last week, and I remember this one survivor. She was on a screen. I don't know if she's still living, but she was on a screen. They had recorded her before she passed, and she told of some of the despicable things that they experienced. And then she said many good things, but at the end, it just smote my heart. She said, I will go on, but I will never forgive. She said, I will never forgive. And I believe she likely died that way. But that is so sad. That is so sad because she was in a stronghold. And I understand. I understand the despicable, awful things that she experienced. But it's no excuse. And another thing that I'd like to point out at this point is that with this Holocaust and some of the things that have happened in the past, there's a generation in our community that no longer believe that. We had the opportunity the other night to go to visit someone, and there's a young man started talking to some of my children, my boys, and he doesn't believe that the Holocaust happened. That's a stronghold. He is wrapped up in a stronghold. If I don't read the Bible, I won't be accountable. If I don't, you know, the list goes on. But that is a stronghold that is going to have devastating consequences. Insecurity. Poor me. No one likes me. Did you see how they avoided me last Sunday? Did you see how they looked at me? Someone stared at me. All those things are just, you know, those are strongholds that can develop in our lives. Unforgiveness, openly resisting salvation. Don't tell me what to wear. I heard one recently say something about, you know, hoping the wardrobe police don't show up. You know, that's a worldly mindset. It's not Christian. Unhealthy fear, pride. I'm the worst or I'm the best. Isolation, often alone. I don't want to be around people. I'm just going to be in my own. I'm alone. It's a prime recipe for destruction. Depression, life is not fair. Not able to hold a conversation. Can't communicate. Addiction to pain meds or a lying spirit. An uncontrolled anger problem. Anger that just is uncontrollable. I'm a victim, and so I'm going to sin because they did this to me. And the last point involves all of them. Living in denial of any of the sins I listed above that are in our lives. If we live in denial, that's also a mark of a stronghold. So in closing here, I wanted to read Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? This was Israel. They were in a very difficult time. Things were very rough for Israel. But they chose a fast, and it loosed the bands of wickedness. It undid the heavy burdens, and the oppressed went free. So may the Lord bless each one of you, and thank you for your attentiveness.